The work must always be commenced and commenced with a good heart. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Very dear faithful, Sexagesima Sunday is a Sunday that makes the work of a priest a little easier when it comes to preparing the sermon, because our Lord not only gives the parable, He also gives its explanation. However, there are many things we can still learn from the readings of today's Mass. A little earlier in the same epistle of today's Mass, taken from the second of St. Paul to the Corinthians, the Apostle to the Gentiles lists fasting as one of the virtuous acts of a Christian. Since we are preparing ourselves for Lent, it is a valid question to ask today, given what we know of other religions, what does fasting have to do with virtue? Why is there something special about it for Christians? What distinguishes the fast of a Christian from the fasts of others who are not? Many a time, one will find that the fasts practiced by non-Christians are done for material ends. And this is quite popular today. You might have heard of something called intermittent fasting. As St. Thomas Aquinas teaches us, a Christian is called to fast for three ends: to bridle the lusts of the flesh, to free up the mind so that it may more easily rise to the contemplation of heavenly things, and to make satisfaction for sins. With these ends in mind, fasting becomes a virtuous act because it is pleasing to God. Consider the fact that Adam and Eve committed the first sin by eating the forbidden fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. This was not only an act of disobedience committed in their soul, but also a sin committed by their bodies. Therefore, exterior fasts are there to repair these sins of our bodies. St. Bernard of Clairvaux points out that it is important to remember that we do not only sin by eating, we also sin by our other senses, our sense of sight, of touch, of hearing, and of smell. Therefore, it is important to mortify the other senses as well. Some of you have been maybe familiar with the reception of the sacrament of the anointing of the sick in the traditional form of the church. This is where you would see that the priest takes the oil of the sick and anoints the five parts of the body that correspond to the five senses, asking our Lord to forgive the person for any sins committed by any of these five senses. So, for example, with the sense of sight, we look away rather than allow ourselves to be tempted by what we see. We may change the subject of conversation in order to avoid hearing or speaking of vain, frivolous, or sinful things. The liturgy of the Church during this period of Septuagesima also prepares us for Lent by certain external fasts. For example, we already no longer hear the Alleluia. Every Sunday and weekday Mass is celebrated in the liturgical color of violet, which is the penitential color of the Church. However, given that Adam and Eve sinned in their souls first by deciding to commit the sin of disobedience before actually committing it, it is even more important to mortify our souls. St. Francis de Sales tells us how much more important it is to fast interiorly than to fast exteriorly. Even though it is not to be discounted, it is not enough to fast exteriorly. Therefore, we are called to do the penitential work of mortifying our thoughts, words, and desires. The fast of the body must be accompanied by the fast of the mind. We must fast from thoughts that keep us from doing what God expects of us. We must mortify our disordered desires. We must watch what we say in various situations of life in order to grow always in charity. This is why St. Francis de Sales tells us to fast wholeheartedly. It is imperative that this Lent we leave behind thoughts of impatience and anger, for example, and that as soon as we recognize them, we apply ourselves to respond no longer in the same manner, to gain that control over these passions. During our retreat, the retreat master actually put a point on a distinction between our will and our sensibilities. We must be patient with ourselves because our sensibilities, our passions, our emotions do not necessarily follow a decision of the will. So we should not let ourselves be discouraged that even after we have made a good resolution, we do not find ourselves wholeheartedly following through with it. We must be patient with ourselves, and always, having made a decision of the will, be firm in continuing on the path no matter how our emotions react in different situations. We should examine ourselves with regard to the vices of sloth, gluttony, pride, greed, lust, and envy. If we start working against these in our souls, we will certainly unburden ourselves of unnecessary spiritual weight and become more agile, more lithe and nimble in our spiritual movements. In particular, we will become more prompt and rapid in our responses to the inspirations of the Holy Spirit. And very soon, we will see an improvement in our daily lives. After all, our Lord Himself said, "My yoke is easy and my burden light." St. Francis de Sales also points out the importance of being humble in our fasts. One reason that excessive physical mortifications are discouraged is that we are likely to become vain and proud when practicing them. This makes them useless. The lack of charity towards our neighbors is one of the clearest signs of this trouble in our souls. If we are uncharitable to those around us, while being secretly proud of the improvement we have made, then we have surely not made any progress. Another sign is a lack of gratitude, particularly towards God, for the improvement we have been able to make. The best way to practice penance with humility is to be grateful always and every time to God for every blessing, and to others even for the smallest of favors. Moreover, practicing charity towards those around us is a sure way of avoiding the pitfalls of pride. The saints would remind themselves often when they saw someone fall into sin that it would have been them were it not for the grace of God. Everything we have received either directly or indirectly from God. It is therefore important to give thanks to God for all that He gives us. Every improvement that we make and every temptation or difficulty that we overcome is a result of graces from God and our cooperation with them. We therefore have no reason to glory in ourselves alone. It is also useful to keep in mind that there is no point to our fasts if we seek to please ourselves or those around us. We must seek to please God and God alone, seeking to spend our eternity with Him. The Ten Commandments have not changed since God put them on the two tablets of stone and gave them to Moses. Let us not spend too much time rethinking, making excuses for ourselves, or procrastinating. Consider Adam and Eve. The instruction given to them was clear, yet they allowed the serpent to convince them of the opposite. They broke God's commandment, and they died a spiritual death. Our Lord was clear when He said that we must eat His flesh and drink His blood if we are to have eternal life. When some of His disciples started to discuss this unnecessarily, He rejected them. It is true that we are allowed to clear up difficulties and ask questions for clarification, but let us search our hearts for the contentious attitude that seeks to find a way out of the obligation imposed upon us by God's commandments. This Lent, If we want to make progress, let us fast from this contentious attitude. As soon as what we have to do is clear, let us not fear to ask God for an increase of the virtue of fortitude and an increase of fervor, and simply do it. In order to change our hearts, we begin with good resolutions. We can be sure, given our weakness, that we will break them at some time or another. But this should not be a cause for discouragement. It is exactly for this reason that we have the sacrament of confession. When seeking to make any improvement in our lives, we should expect to fall at some point or another. God judges us on our intention. If we had the right intention, but we failed despite it, then we must confess the sin and receive the grace that will strengthen us for the next time that we face the same challenge. Slowly but surely, we will overcome pride with humility. Be kind deliberately to overcome envy. Practice against lust, patience against anger, generosity against greed, and diligence against love. St. Francis of Sales told his spiritual charges often that every day we must feel that we begin the work of our perfection anew. If we bear this well in mind, we will not be astonished at the miseries we find in ourselves. The work is never done, and it must be always commenced, and commenced with a good heart. God has brought us this far. We should trust Him to take us the rest of the way to be with Him forever. The seed that the sower sows in the ground of today's gospel is the word of God. It is not a sound that strikes the air and disappears rapidly like the word of men. It is a supernatural light that reveals the true value of things. It is grace, the source of power and strength for us to live according to the light of God. It has a powerful strength and is capable of producing not only some fruits of the Christian life, but abundant fruits of sanctity. Moreover, the sower is our Lord Jesus Christ Himself, not someone inexperienced. If the seed does not always produce good fruits, it is because the ground lacks the necessary qualities for it. God never stops sowing the seed in our hearts. He invites us constantly to an increase of virtue. He calls us continually by His light and appeals. He never ceases giving us His grace through the sacraments. But if our heart is not well prepared and disposed, all this is useless. God will never force us. He respects our free will. So let us not be frivolous, dissipated, open to all distractions, rumors, and curiosity, and thus receive the seed on a hard ground. Let us not be superficial, easily enthusiastic, but not persevering in times of temptations, thus receiving the seed on stony ground, lacking the courage to make the renunciations and sacrifices necessary so that we remain faithful to the word of God. Likewise, let us not be preoccupied with worldly affairs, pleasures, and material interests, thus receiving the seed among thorns. Let us instead be like those with a good and upright heart, hearing the word, keeping it, and bringing forth fruit in patience, thus giving the first place to God and bearing abundant fruit in proportion to the good dispositions of recollection, the serious and profound interior life, detachment, a sincere seeking for heavenly things, and most importantly, perseverance. We have no better examples of such fertile soil as the Blessed Virgin and Saint Joseph, who model for us these dispositions and openness to the Word of God, so much so that they welcome Him in the flesh in their midst. This Lent, let us do the long and difficult work of a good spiritual fasting, exterior, interior, and humble fasting, that is pleasing to God alone, so that we are well disposed to receive the word of God in our souls and bear abundant graces, abundant fruit in proportion by Easter time. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.